Well, the word's good. Amen is right. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go with me to, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Actually, go to John 15 first. John 15 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Excited about today's message? Praise God. It's going to be good. We need this. Hallelujah. Praise His name forevermore. Someday I'm going to have a testimony for you. Woo-wee! You wait. You wait. Praise God. See, the greater the fire, the greater the victory. Amen. It's true. Hallelujah. John 15 and verse 8. It says, herein, well, let's pray. We better pray first. Mommy, don't we need His help, not just me. Praise the Lord. Father, help us today. We thank You for the Word. We thank You for what You're going to say, what You're going to do. And Father, I don't just pray because it's what we do before we preach. I mean that, Lord. I want You to know, Father, that I know that I can't do this without You, that we need Your help. We need the Holy Ghost's help today. So, Father, speak through me. As I open my mouth, I thank You that You'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank You that I'll speak bullseyes into people's hearts. Father, we'll get our help today and we'll go from glory to glory. Father, You're only trying to bring us up. You're only trying to help us. So, Father, thank You for help this morning. I thank You. I will speak as the oracles of God, and the message, according to the Word, will be delivered with boldness and with utterance. And, Father, we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, John 15 and verse 8, this is, I believe, part 4 of our series about bearing much fruit. And it says, herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be My disciples. Well, God wants you to bear fruit. The fruit that God wants you to bear is the abundant life fruit. Amen. We actually saw over there in 2 Peter, we won't turn there for time's sake, we're going to just do a super fast review. He said that He's already given us, already, past tense, provided, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Remember that? And you can go on live stream to catch up with these messages and see what God is saying. But He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's natural and spiritual. And some people would say, well, where's the healing? Where's the prosperity? Where's the peace if He's already provided it? Well, He said He wants you to bear much fruit. Hold that thought and go real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, the fruit that He wants you to bear is spiritual fruit and natural fruit. Natural fruit because it'll bless you, He loves you, you can be a blessing with natural fruit. Spiritual fruit because you grow with Him and get further along with Him and be a blessing in the kingdom of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 9, go ahead Kim Lyon, just pull that right up in the Amplified. So remember, people might say, well, where is it then? If He's already provided it, why don't I have it? Well, the Bible says here that we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. You are, now notice this, you are, remember, He wants you to bear fruit. You are God's garden, field, and vineyard. Do you see those three things there? God's garden, God's vineyard, and God's field under cultivation. Well, what do gardens, fields, and vineyards do? They produce harvest. They produce fruit. They produce blessing. He said, that's what you are. That's why He wants you to produce much fruit. And so think about a natural garden. Think about a natural field. Everything that's needed for sweet corn to come up out of the ground is already on the earth. Well, if it's already on the earth, well then why not just wait during sweet corn season and do nothing and sweet corn will come? We know that's not how it happens. There's a process that has to go through, right? A process of a field, a process of sowing a seed. Amen? Hallelujah. And without that process, there is nothing. Even though all the things are needed that are needed are already on the earth. Well, Jesus said, I've already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I've already gave you your health. I already gave you your victory. I already gave you your peace. I already gave you your prosperity. I already gave you your soundness of mind. People say, well, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Well, there's a process. And if you don't go through the process, there's no fruit. Well, the process is found in Mark chapter 4, and that's what we're looking at. And we'll read through that, and we won't talk about the other ones we've looked at so far. We'll just go forward. Praise God. And you'll bear with me today. Be patient with all this drinking up here. Might as well have nothing to do. Bathroom break. But when you drink a lot of this stuff. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible says the sower sows the word. So the Bible's talking about the sower sowing the word. We're talking about fruit fields. God, they need seed. The seed here is the word. It says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's the first ground, the wayside, that the word falls on. And these likewise are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That was the second ground that we saw and we looked at last week, the stony ground. And these are they which are sown among thorns, as hear the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. That's the third ground that we're going to look at today, which is the thorny ground. And then there's a fourth ground. These are they that are sown on good ground, hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Amen. How do we bring forth fruit? Okay, Pastor Mike, what is the process of bringing forth fruit? The process of bringing forth fruit, it's already here. How do you bring forth the fruit of healing? How do you bring forth the fruit of prosperity, the fruit of peace, the fruit of going forward with Him and spiritually? It's simple. You be the good ground. But here's the thing you have to know, is bringing forth fruit all centers around what you do with God's Word. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The Bible says the word is quick, powerful, and sharp. The Bible says it's alive. It's the greatest seed there ever was for the potential to produce the most harvest and the most fruit. And the interesting thing is the Bible says that three types of people out of four, the wayside, the stony, and the thorny ground, all had that precious seed fall on them. You know what the Bible calls the incorruptible seed? The perfect seed, the word's the perfect seed. And guess what? They didn't bring forth any fruit. What's that telling you? 75% of the people that Jesus ministered to didn't get anything out of the word. Isn't that amazing? But there's a 25% that's good ground. That they hear the word, do the right thing with it, and bring forth the fruit. It's amazing. I can preach the same messages to the same human beings in a service. And some fall down wayside, some fell on good, some fell on stony, some fell on thorny. Some people receive it, bring forth fruit from that, and some people don't bring forth any fruit from it. Right. Now, is that the preacher's fault? The sower's fault? No. Is that the seed's fault? No. The seed only produces according to the ground it falls on, because we already established that the seed is perfect. If I take the best corn seed in the world, the sweetest corn seed in the world, and sprinkle it on this floor, it's ground. This is a ground. It's not going to grow. If I take it out to the parking lot, sprinkle it out, it's not going to grow. So we're trying to bring forth fruit. Why? Life's better when you bring forth fruit. I've been poor. It's better not to be. I've been sick. It's better not to be. I've been tormented in my mind. It's better not to be. I've been emotionally unstable. It's better not to be. Amen. Fruit caused that stuff to go away and bless. The fruit of peace, the fruit of healing, the fruit of prosperity, the fruit of joy, the fruit of victory. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's go on. We looked at the other grounds. We looked at the wayside and the thorny ground the stony ground last week. Now we're going to look at the thorny ground this week. So go to verse 17. And what we're saying is we're looking at this and we're examining our lives. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Find out, where am I missing it? Because why? Where you're missing it is where you're hurting. That's right. Amen. Yeah, I'll say that. And if you're a parent and you miss it, you know who it's going to affect? Your kids. It's not just about you. Right. It's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. If you miss it and don't do right, the kids won't. The kids won't receive. Say, oh, no, that's not how it works. Oh. Don't make me line up scripture after scripture to show how important it is for the parents to do the right thing. Yeah. Amen. Oh, we're going to touch on some things today. You better lace up your steel toes. Lace them up. Take those flip-flops off. It's going to hurt. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to warn you. But it's going to be good. Why? Correction is our help. Amen. God corrects those. If there's correction involved, you know, there'll be encouragement and admonishment and things like that. But let's go ahead and look here in Mark chapter 4. So we're looking at this, say, okay, if I see something in my life, say, yep, I'm characteristic of that background. I need to change that. Why? It's only hurting you. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and verse 17 says, verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. They got that seed, that perfect seed, that seed that can transform their life, that seed that can turn their life around. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, there's three things there. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. We're going to leave out today the deceitfulness of riches, and we're going to talk about the cares of this world and the lust of other things because they kind of go together. Amen? So we're going to look at this and try to help you. This will bring you peace. This will bring you blessing, praise God. Hallelujah. I never thought it'd be embarrassing. It's weird to drink in front of people. How about when I take a drink, you take a drink? Thank you, Dr. Jessica. Grandma Alice. Sarah, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to get there. There's another side. There's always another side. Never take your eyes off the other side. Amen. The storm might be big, but there's another side, praise God. Hallelujah. Anyways, let's go on here. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Bible. Amen. So I want to point some things out here. The cares of this world and the lusts of other things. Praise God. Now remember, here's what you have to understand, is all these grounds do one thing. They remove the word out of your life, which is the one thing that can be responsible for producing growth. Satan comes, right? Offended in the ground we looked at last week. That robs the word. Chokes the word today with the thorny ground. And so we're going to look at these things. We can't let the word get out of our lives. Amen. So the first thing I want to look at in verse 19, where it says, the cares of this world. Now, that's talking about there the anxieties and the worries of this world. The Bible says when a person enters into anxiety and worry, it will choke the word. Well, let's look and see what the Bible says about anxiety and worry. Go to Romans 14 and verse 23. Romans 14 and verse 23. Praise God. We don't want to be the thorny ground. A bunch of thorns running around, you know. Romans 14, verse 23. And he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. And we don't need to talk about all that. We're looking at the last point here. For whatsoever is not of faith. Do you see that? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, I know that's a dirty word in church, talking about sin, but we need to talk about it at times. And the problem with sin, or the dangers of sin, is the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Now, let me point something out to people. Because people, they think of sin in their mind, and they go to some of the big ones. Murder, adultery, stealing, and all that. All sin is disobedience to God. Any disobedience to God, whether it be the written word or the word spoken in your heart, and not done, is sin. Amen. We magnify some of the big name ones and addictions and things we put in our body and stuff. And I'm not saying they're not sins. But if God tells you to forgive someone, or God tells you, hey, be more faithful, or God tells you, hey, serve over here, or God tells you, walk in love, and you don't do it, it's a sin. And the wages of that sin will lead to death. Amen. It's the truth. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what about worry and what about anxiety? Well, go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. We've looked at this many, many times, but it's important to point it out. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let's pass over to the other side. There's always another side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. One translation says of hurricane proportions. Now remember, he's dealing with professional fishermen. They've seen storms before, right? That, you know, usually people that are on the water, that are accustomed to being, make their living in a sea and with storms and stuff, if I went out with them, I'm guessing that I would be more troubled naturally over a storm than they would, right? That maybe something, a storm with them, they go, oh, we deal with this all the time, might worry someone like me because I'm not a fisherman. I don't live my life on the seas. They live their life on the seas. That's what they did for a living. And so it says, there was a great storm of wind, so much so that the waves beat into the ship and it was now full. That's a bad storm. And Jesus was in the hinder of the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and they said unto him, Master, do you not care that we perish? Well, that tells you where their mindset was. Where was their mindset? We're dead unless you do something. Perish means to die. He says, Master, don't you care that we're going to die? So that's where they thought they were. They thought they're gone. They totally forgot that Jesus said we're going to the other side, and they just looked at the natural, right? That's what a lot of people do. Totally forget that God says they're healed, and they just stare at the doctor's report. Totally forget what God said about their finances and just stare at their money and their bills. Jesus just said, we're going to their side. He didn't say, hey, boys, hop in the boat. Let's go die in the middle. Come on. He didn't say that. He said, we're going to the other side. But they forgot how quickly people forget God's word. Amen. And you know what's so funny about this story? It's not really funny, but to me it's kind of funny. They just heard him preach a sermon on the parable of the sower. What happened? They heard the word and were bad ground. Because Jesus sowed the word. When Jesus said, let's go to the other side, what's that? The word being sown in their life. And guess what? They quickly became bad ground. Hallelujah. If I don't keep doing that, my lips are going to stick together and I'm going to have to use sign language and I don't know any. So we'd be in trouble. So anyways, hallelujah. He says, Master, don't you care that we're dying? And he arose. And he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased, there was great calm. Now remember, whatsoever's not of faith is sin. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus said unto them, why are you afraid? Well, I would ask you the same question. And your answer can't be, because I'm facing a life and death situation. So were they. Yeah. Jesus didn't care. Jesus was saying here to them, why are you afraid? Wrong response. Now, that sounds like Jesus is being not compassionate and not caring what they're going through. No, just like when Elijah said to the woman, I don't care that you only have one meal left. Give it to me. He wasn't being mean. He's trying to get her into something. Right? When Jesus says to them, why are you afraid in a life or death situation? He's not being mean. He's saying wrong response. But, so my answer question to you would be, why are you afraid? If there's anything in your life right now that's causing you to tremble, have anxiety or fear, why? Why? That's what Jesus would ask you. We have proof for it right here. That in a life or death situation, he would say, why? Why? There's a greater answer for you. Why are you so afraid? Now look what he says. How is it you have no faith? So what's he saying? Fear, anxiety, and worry. That's all. They're all go together. Fear, anxiety, worry, stress. He says, no faith. So he said the fear response, the anxiety response, the worry response is a no faith response. Well, what did we just learn about? Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. So what's the problem with the worry, the cares of this world? It's sin. Now, this is what the Lord gave me. You probably already knew this, and I don't say that sarcastically. But sometimes he gives me things. I'm like, wow, that's really good, Lord. And probably the whole world already had that, but he showed me anyways. Go with me to Romans 10 and verse 17. So worry, fear, and anxiety are not faith. That's what he said, right? I want to show you the dangers of worry and fear. Now follow me here after I read this. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He said, worry. He said, the cares of this world, what do the cares of this world do? They choke the word. What's that mean? It makes the word unfruitful, right? Chokes the word. Makes the word unfruitful. Can't be blessed. Can't come forth and bring forth what it's supposed to. Why does that happen? Why does worry choke the word? Well, here we're going to see it. So then, faith comes by hearing the word. What's faith do? Moves mountains, overcomes, please God, quenches the enemy's darts, overcomes in 1 John 5 and verse 4. Faith does a whole lot for us, doesn't it? It moves mountains. Now, follow me on this. He said, he that hears the word, faith comes by hearing the word. So there's something that happens when the word is sown onto somebody. What happens? Faith rises up, right? Faith rises up. Faith to get you through things. Faith to overcome, to quench the darts, everything I just said. So now, here you go. If the word translates into faith, but worry chokes the word, you could say this, that the process of hearing the word or what the word can do is turn into faith. It's kind of like this. What sustains us every second? We don't even think about it. Breathing. You cut off, if you choke somebody, what's that do? Cuts off their air supply. What's that cause? Death. Well, what does the word do? The word turns into faith. If worry and fear, anxieties, cares of this world, choke the word, it causes the word to not turn into, you could say it this way, the word is the air to our faith. The word sustains our faith, just like breathing keeps us going. Cut off the air supply and we die. Cut off the air supply of the word or choke the word, and guess what dies when you choke the word? Faith dies. Because you can't have faith without the word. And if you're in anxiety and worry, you're not in faith. You're choking the word. You can't allow yourself to step over into a place of anxiety and worry. Didn't Paul say in Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious, worried, stressed out for nothing? Well, I guess Paul must not have known what I was going to go through. No. He wouldn't have been able to write that if it wouldn't apply to every single thing that we're going to face, every single thing that we are facing. Amen? You can't afford. Yes, it's a sin, but it chokes the word. What does the word do? The word turns into faith. Faith is everything. Jesus said the response you should have had in the worst test of your life is faith. That's what he said. He didn't say about praying to God during that test, did he? He didn't. He didn't say about calling the prayer chain. I'm getting dry up here again. Hallelujah. Didn't say that. He said, the problem here, guys, is you don't have faith. Why didn't they have faith? Because of worry. What did worry do? Choke the word. Why? Because what does the word do? Turn into faith. Did you follow me on all that? Sometimes it's hard for me to spit this stuff out, even when my mouth's not dry. I confuse my own self sometimes, and I got to make sure I'm not confusing you. You can't allow yourself to step over into anxiety. It must be resisted. Be anxious for nothing. Jesus said, take no thought. Do not worry about your life. And you got to stop with the idea, yeah, but, that's easy to say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. No, what you've done is you've magnified your circumstance over His Word. You've magnified your circumstance over His power. You've magnified your circumstance over faith. Jesus looked at people that thought they were dying, and naturally they were. That was a storm to take them out. They weren't mistaken. That they knew. They've been on the water. They're professionals. The boat's filling up. And he said, stop being afraid. Stop worrying. Why? You're choking the word. The word turns into faith. Faith is what you need. Faith is going to get you through. You can't afford worry. Well, that's all well and good, Pastor Mike, but how do I stay out of worry? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you right now, go to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. This is just the first part of the message. We're going to go on to the other things in a second. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Amen. Here's your answer to worry right here. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all. How much is all? All. Casting all your care, all your what? Anxiety, all your fear, all your worry, all your stress. Casting it on Him. Those things that you're stressed out about, that you lay awake at night, that you wring your hands over, that doubt and unbelief come out of your mouth over, what's He say to do with them? Get them off you and get them onto Him. He can carry it. You can't. He invites you to load Him up with your care. Cast all your care onto Him. Now you know what that looks like. It looks like this. Father, I saw it in the Word today. I am anxious. I am stressed. I am fearful. And I am worried. And I know it's wrong. It's not helping me. It's choking the Word. The Word turns into faith. When the Word's choked, I can't be in faith. So Father, once and for all, that worry over my body, that worry over my finances, that worry over my family, that worry over my kids, that worry over my job, that worry over my business, that worry over fill in the blank, I give it to You once and for all. I refuse to worry about it anymore. Now, if you think the fight's going to end there, you're mistaken. Because there's an enemy. And he will bombard your mind. He will come back and tell you, what about the doctor's report? Remember the doctor's report? What about your body? Remember the symptoms? What about your checkbook? What about your kids? Your kids are doing this. Oh, did you see what your kids just did? You see what the business, you see the account, what the accountant said? See what your bills are saying? And it's going to attempt for you to go up to God, pull those back, and start worrying about them again. You must refuse that. And I'm going to show you how to do that to take care of your mind here in a second. You must refuse that. And when the thoughts come after you, so for example, something going on in your body, Father, I give it to You once and for all. When the thought comes, when a symptom rises up, when a doctor says something and the thought goes into your head and worry starts to creep up, you say, I refuse to worry about that. You give God your finances. Say, Lord, I cast it onto You. And then an unexpected bill comes up or a job change or something. And you get that and you say, and the thoughts come, you say, I refuse to worry about that. That's Your problem, not mine. He invited it. Once you give it to Him, it's His problem. It's His problem, not yours. Father, it's Yours. I refuse to worry about that. Now, how are you going to keep your mind straight? Go to Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. How many of you know anxiety, fear, worry, stress are not peace? Peace is where the blessing is, though. You will keep Him in perfect peace. Now, what's the rest of the verse say? You will keep Him in perfect peace whose doctor's report comes back perfect. No. You'll keep Him in perfect peace when all the bills are paid, there's extra money left over, and you don't have to think about your money. No. I'll keep Him in perfect peace when everything is fine and dandy with my family. No. He said perfect peace is attainable apart from your circumstances. And see, the time when perfect peace is going to be robbed isn't when all the money's there. Perfect peace won't be robbed when the body's working perfectly. Perfect peace will be robbed when it's hell on earth. And that's the time that Jesus said to the disciples during hell on earth for them, faith is your answer. And how did He demonstrate it? Sleeping in the back of the boat in a hurricane. Faith has rest. Why? He cast His cares. He wasn't worried about a thing. God's got this. I'm doing things God's way. Praise the Lord. And so perfect peace must be the thing to strive for, but it's not going to be when everything's good. That's easy to get perfect peace. He says, I can give you perfect peace apart from your circumstances, which will keep you in faith, which will get you through that problem. It says, I'll keep Him in perfect peace. Look at this. Whose mind? It's all between your ears. Whose mind is stayed or fixed on Thee. Because he trusts in Thee. What's he saying? The way you're going to stay in perfect peace, which is the opposite of fear, anxiety, worry, is when you cast that. Because you get excited when Pastor Mike says, cast it, that God wants it. But when Pastor Mike says that and you cast it, the devil's going to be right back there trying to get you to take it back. He's going to be right on the doorstep of your ears and your brain telling you, doctor's report, doctor's report. doctor's report. You you cast that, but that doesn't change the doctor's report. Yeah, you cast that, but go check. Go add up your finances. Still doesn't change. Go cast that and see what your kids are all still doing. Doesn't change it. So how are you going to stay in peace? You're going to resist those thoughts of the enemy and say, no, I refuse. That's God's. Remember what Jesus did? He talked to the devil. He talked to those thoughts. He did. In Luke chapter 4 in the wilderness, he talked to it. Water break. It says, whose mind is stayed on these. So you cast your cares of your health. The devil comes with thoughts. How are you going to stay in perfect peace? You're going to keep your mind on what he says about in the Word about healing. You're going to find scriptures that say, by his stripes, that he heals all my diseases and all my sicknesses. And you're going to keep your mind on that. And when the devil comes, no, I refuse that thought. By his stripes, I'm the healed of the Lord. You're going to go to Philippians 4:19. He'll meet all my needs. And with a thought, oh, check your money. Your money didn't change. Father, I thank you that you meet and supply all my needs. You want me to prosper. Abundance is mine. Increase is coming. Keep your mind on him. I heard Pastor Nancy Dufresne say this one time. She said, if you're thinking right, the symptoms in your body won't trouble you. That's what that says. If you keep your mind on the word, it doesn't matter. He's saying apart from the circumstances, which would be symptoms, which would be accounting reports, calculator, final numbers, apart from that, you can have peace if what? You think right. She said, seemingly not enough money won't bother you when you're thinking right. You cast it, and then you get your mind on the word. And you keep your mind on the word. 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 The Bible said that Jesus told Peter, get out of the boat. Come walk on the water. But before he told him, the Bible says that it wasn't a calm sea. Even if it was a calm sea, walking on water. But it was a rough sea, the Bible says. The wind and the waves. And Jesus said, come on out and get out. Well, how many of you know that would bring, those circumstances would bring fear and worry. But why did Peter step out of the boat? The Bible says, when he stepped out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Jesus said, come. What did he do? Oh, you said, come. I'm just going to keep my eyes on you, Jesus. We know he kept his eyes on Jesus and stayed above. What? He had his mind fixed on the word. The word was come. Fixed on the word. When did Peter start to doubt and worry? When he took his mind or his attention off the word, put it on the waves. It says when Peter, it's Mark chapter 14 if you need it. When Peter, or Matthew chapter 14, when Peter saw that the wind and the waves, he began to sink. The wind and the waves were already doing their thing. You can have perfect peace in the midst of your sickness if you'll keep your mind on healing, on prosperity. Oh man, you can't worry, you can't worry. It'll squash your faith. Faith is how you receive. Faith is how you get the promises of God. You're not going to get your healing because God feels bad for you. You're not going to get your healing because you go to church. You're not going to get your healing because you're a good person. You're not going to get your money because you're moral and you're kind and you do things for people. No, you're going to turn these things around by faith because the Bible says it's the victory that causes us to overcome. Faith. Amen. Praise God. Well, that was help right there. We could shut this thing down and say we're done, but we're not. I wouldn't have had you put those boots on for nothing. Amen. Now, we talked about the cares of this world. But, go with me. Kim, will you pull up Mark chapter 4 and verse 18 in the Amplified, please? And the ones who are among sown thorns, others hear the word. Go to verse 19. The cares and anxieties, that's what we just looked at, the cares and anxieties of the world. Now here we go. This is what we're going to look at now. And the distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour of deceitfulness of riches. We'll get to that some other time. And the craving and passionate desire for other things. Other things and distractions. That's what we're going to talk about, okay? The lust for other things and the distractions that do what? Choke the word. Why can't you afford to have the word choked? Because the word is what produces the fruit that you need, that your children need, and that the people around you in the world need you to walk into. You can't allow it. Now, I'm going to make a disclaimer right now. Are you ready? Don't forget this disclaimer. I'm going to make a disclaimer. My job is what Paul told Timothy when he wrote to Timothy. He said, I charge you before the Lord Jesus Christ and God, preach the word. Amen? My job is to preach the word. My job is not to preach fluff, opinions, theories, ideas, philosophies. My job, I have to stand before Jesus someday and give account. It's not to say things that I might think might make you feel good and would ease my conscience. You know it's going to get good when I get a disclaimer. And to say things that would ease my conscience so I know you don't walk out of here angry or upset. That's not my job. My job is to preach the word. And what does the word come with? We look at this all the time. Correction, rebuke, exhortation. It's bold, praise God. Jesus didn't tiptoe around the word, did he? No. So when I preach the word and everything in this word, I am no more than a mailman, a FedEx driver, a UPS driver doing what? Delivering a package, delivering the mail, delivering a document. And some documents that get delivered in the mail are unpleasant when you open them. Some things in envelopes are unpleasant. Mortgage payments, utility payments, court orders, things like that, right? I'm betting and guessing that when you open them, you don't run down your driveway, chase down the mailman that delivered them, and kick the snot out of them. Talk bad about them in private. Give the mailman dirty looks. I bet you don't do that. Why? Because you know this didn't come from the mailman. The mailman's not the source. It's unfair for you to be upset with your pastor. Now, why am I telling you this? Because the pastor-sheep relationship needs to be guarded with everything it can. And the devil will use anything he can to divide. We looked at that in the beginning of the series. He'll tell you anything to divide from us. Why? Because I'm vital in your life as your shepherd. That's what the Bible says. Not Mike Anderson, the shepherd, the pastor. And so it's unfair for you. Oh, that's just what Pastor Mike thinks. That's just Pastor Mike's philosophies. Not if I get it right out of here, it isn't. Oh, yes, I'll say that. Just like it's unfair for sheep to criticize my decisions in this church, who I put where, what I decide to do, if I have to follow the Holy Ghost and I place people in positions in this church as the Holy Ghost leads me, guess what I'm bound by? What He says. It's unfair for people to get mad at me for obeying Him and to criticize me in private and to talk about me and to judge me. I'm following the Holy Ghost. I only want what He wants. Amen? Why do we have a Wednesday service? Because that's what He told me to do. It'd be a lot easier for me not to have one. Naturally. Amen. Why did He tell me to? Why am I doing a second church in Allegheny? Not because it's convenient and easy. In fact, it's very difficult. I'll just say this. I'm not trying to sing a sad story, but I'll do whatever God tells me to do because you should do whatever God tells you to do. My kids go to school all week. I have two midweek services, spend time with God, ministering to people. And then when my kids come home on the weekend, guess who my kids don't get? They don't get dad on the weekends. Ever! Why? Preparing for service on Saturday, getting ready for service on Sunday. Friday's a prep day for Saturday. Why? Take this stuff seriously. Amen. Amen. Why do you do that, Pastor Mike? Because that's what God said to do. Why do you put certain people there? I don't know. That's what God said to do. I got to obey God. So you could be angry with me, decisions I make, and get upset with me, and get offended with me, and talk bad about me, when all I'm doing, and when I preach the word, get mad at what I say, all I'm doing is trying to be obedient to Him. Amen. Amen. On that note, I'm a little carried away on that one. Hallelujah. You're all being so patient with me today. So let's go to lust of other things. Go pull that back up in the King James, please. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness, we already talked about the cares of the world. One of the cares of the world, too, though, is distractions. We saw that in the Amplified, and if you look that up, that's what it is. So the cares are not only anxiety, but they're the distractions. And the lust of other things, what do they do? Choke the word. What's the word meant to do for you? Produce in your life. What does Pastor Mike want for you? Blessing. It's all I want for you is blessing. The lust for other things, you know what? So it's talking about the lust for other things than what? The word. What does that mean, lust? To desire, to crave, to long for something. Well, what's this talking about in context? To desire, to crave, to lust for other things than the word. If you had a revelation of what the word will do for you, you would lust, desire, crave, and long for it. What does the Bible say about it? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. First, I'm just trying to help you here. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It's like the person I sat with in my office going through financial hell. I kept telling them, tithe, 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 won't change to you, tithe, and they won't do it. And they sit in my office and they say to me, how am I supposed to feed my family if I tithe? Well, when people say, oh, I can't keep my electric on, I can't keep my heat on, you know what that's like? That's like that woman saying to Elijah, we only have one meal left. What do you want me to do? And what did Elijah say? I want you to do the word. Didn't care about the sad song, did he? No. Why? Because he knew the word is best.
That's right.
And people will tell you your situation, circumstances to make you feel bad. I'm not backing down off the word. You telling me to shut my electric off to obey God? Well, I won't tell you what to do, but I know what I'd do. I know what I've done. And I know what it translated into. You're looking at a guy that will do anything for God. I've proven it in my life. I've put my family in such a financial hole to obey God. Amen. Why? Because it's the best way. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babies, he said, just like a newborn baby. I saw Troy and Tracy's newborn baby last night. And it took me about 2 minutes before the kid started crying. I said, Colton, don't start with me already. I said, stop, you knock that off. He says, like newborn babies, desire. Well, what does lust mean? Desire, crave, and long for something. He says, just like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. What's grow? Produce fruit. Be blessed. He says, just like a baby desires milk. You know when that little baby Colton screams his brains off. And Tracy told me, you know, she had to go down and feed him. None of this. Oh, little baby, Gucci, Gucci, Goo, we love you. Oh, little cute. Oh. Didn't stop him. Covering him up and rubbing his back and giving him kisses and loving him and going around singing songs and maybe bouncing him up and down. Didn't help him. Why? Only one thing was going to satisfy that child. Milk. Milk. And the Bible says, just like a baby. What does a baby do when it doesn't get its milk? Ah! I want my milk. And what are Christians like with the word? If a baby, if we treated babies with milk the way that Christians treat the word, the babies would struggle and suffer. Oh, baby, you're fine once a week. I'll feed you on Sunday, baby. I'll feed you from 10 to 11:30 on Sunday, baby. That's what he says. Like a baby does. What's that mean? A baby says, I'm going to yell my brains off until I get my milk. And nothing else will satisfy me. The Bible says that's how you should be towards the Word. And if you had a revelation of what the Word would do in your life, this is how you'd be. You'd say, Sundays and Wednesdays are my feeding. time in the Word during the week is not optional. I long for it. I crave it. If you had a revelation. Well, this series should show you that all the good fruit that came from the last ground was produced by the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you lust after, crave, and desire, and long for other things besides the Word, your life is out of order. Do you know God has an order? Go to Matthew 6, 33. Now remember, I'm the delivery man. I'm not telling you anything that's not out of this book.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you, what would be the alternative? Think of the alternative, because it happens all over the place. I just stand up here and tell you my opinions. What I think. Oh, everything's going to work out for you. Just love God. Just love God and be sweet. And He loves you and He's for you. And He's here to bless you. Yeah, if you cooperate with the Word. And that's what preachers say. Why? Nobody. You think this stuff is easy for preachers to say? They want to keep their seats filled? People don't want to hear this stuff. Hungry people, good ground people don't mind hearing it. Matthew 6:33. Seek. What does seek mean? Seek. Seek. That talks about some effort. Right? To be, you're not just casually, you ever lost your keys and you needed to go right away? You're not just kind of walking around the house just looking at things. No, you're tearing things apart. Couch cushions and going through the cupboards and looking through piles of stuff. You're seeking for that. He says that's the way you should be first. But what do people do? They lust, they crave, they long for everything else but the Word, and it shows up in their life. Why? Because it chokes the Word. Amen. If you don't desire the Word and get the Word in you like a baby does, you've choked the Word. And guess what? The production stops. Why? The only way it produces is with the seed of the Word. Amen. I know we're taking an inventory here. Luke chapter 9, this is not a popular verse, but Jesus said it, so we could blame Him. Yell at Him later. Now, let me make this statement. If you're a bad ground, change. Does Pastor Mike sit here and think in his head and judge people and condemn people? No. What you do with your life is your life. My job is to love you, to pray for you, and preach the Word, and that's what I do.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Love you, pray for you, and preach the Word. That's what I do.
Amen.
I do that. Whether or not you do it or not, I'm not going to judge it. That's between you and God. I want you to do it. I don't sit there and take bad thoughts about you. I refuse to take bad thoughts about you. Amen. Even the ones that have slandered me and said, I refuse. Nope, I'm going to be like Jesus and walk in love. Not saying it doesn't attempt to get on it, but I refuse it. Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, talking about seeking first and going after Him, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and Jesus said to them, if any man is going to come after Me, let him deny himself. Oh, that's popular. In the age and the culture we live in, it's not about denying ourselves, it's about what can we get for ourselves. What can I do to fill up my life? But Jesus said, this is the Jesus you're going to stand before.
Right.
He said this, and I'm just delivering the mail. If you're going to come after Me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross to follow Me. Hallelujah. Verse 24, for whoever will save his life is going to lose it. What's that mean? There's people all over trying to save their life. What? Okay, I got this many years. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to see my kids do. This is what I want to accomplish. And God's somewhere off in the rafters.
Come on.
Excluded, like just something on the shelf. And He said, those people are not going to gain anything. They're going to end up losing stuff. And I'll show you that in a second. They will. But the one that will lose his life for Him, which means what? Going the way of the Word, is going to have the one that's going to have the gain. When I lost my life from Him, for Him, back in that vehicle, 1990 Nissan pickup truck on the way to Falconer, New York, to work at the general store, and I slammed my hands on the steering wheel, and I threw my hands up there, I said, Father, I'll do whatever You want, I'll go Your way. And from that point on, I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes, But my heart has been to please him, to do whatever he wants. And you know what's happened in my life? Not loss. Gain, 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 gain. And that's what he says here. He says, and whoever will lose his life for my sake. That's why I did in that truck. I lost my life. Lord, if you want me to go to church, I'm going. Lord, if you want me to tithe, I'm doing it. If you want me to forgive, I'll do it. If you want me to walk in love, I'll do it. If you want me to go all halfway across the country to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, sir, yes, sir. Why? Because the one that loses life is the one that gains. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So lusting after the word. Now last but not least, what was that other thing? Distractions. Distractions. Now remember, doesn't matter what I say, what does he say? What is distractions? Everything that takes you away from the word. Now, why is that a bad thing? I know I'm repeating myself and beating a dead horse. Because the word is the only thing it's going to produce in your life. What are distractions? Well, let's think about distractions. Take you away from the word. Take you away from your time in church. They take you away from your time in the word. We treat the word like it's optional. We treat church like it's optional. Ooh-wee. Now remember, I'm not spouting opinions. I'm going to tell you what Jesus says about this. Are you ready to see what Jesus says about it? Go to Luke 10:38. I'll tell you what Jesus thinks. If you don't care what Jesus thinks, then it doesn't matter. But don't blame me for telling you what Jesus thinks. Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass as they went and entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So they're at Martha's house. Martha's holding this get-together with Jesus and some people. And Martha had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. What's she getting? The word sown into her life. What does that translate into? Fruit. Fruit. But Martha was cumbered. Pull that up in the Amplified, please. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted. Do you see that? Distracted. So what's that word cumbered mean? Occupied and too busy and distracted. You can go back to the King James, please. I just had to point that out. Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, stomping her feet, this is my home. Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? What's she saying? I'm justifying my busyness. I'm justifying that I'm too occupied. I'm justifying my distractions. Well, let's see, because again, don't be mad at me when I say this stuff. Let's see what Jesus thinks or says about the person, because it's true, naturally, there was stuff to be done. There was stuff to do. There was distractions. There were things. Absolutely. Let's see what Jesus says to the person that says, yeah, but Jesus, my kids have these activities. They can't go to church. Oh, ouch. Yeah, but Jesus, my work causes me. Okay. But Jesus, it's summer outside in Western New York. My yard work, the golf course. Distracted from the word. What's anything that distracts? You can fill anything. Anything that keeps you from the word fits in here. Anything. Anything. Distractions. Look what Jesus said. Better take a drink. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto the one that said, aren't you mad that my sister's just sitting there hearing the word and there's all this stuff going on? Martha, Martha. How many Martha, Marthas we got in here? You are careful and troubled about many things. Can you pull that up in the King or the Amplified, Kim Lai? But the Lord Pius say, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. You go back to the King James? Martha, Martha. Notice he didn't say to her, Martha, Martha, you're right. Let's call Mary over here and let's reprimand her. Nope. Look what Jesus, now remember, Pastor Mike just said, Anything that keeps you out of church. Now, I'm not talking once in a while. Things come up. People take vacations. Something happens. Let me address the job thing. I'm not telling you to go quit your job. But if your job keeps you out of church more than it keeps you in a church, I'd be praying to God about that job. You can believe God. You know, there is faith. God can turn things around and make things better for you. I know that that's a foreign thing to people. Again, don't look at me and blame me for what the Word says. Don't yell at me in my office about tithing. I'm not the one that said it. Don't yell at me about this stuff. What is Jesus' thing? Martha, Martha, you're troubled about any things? Verse 42. Oh, get ready. One thing. Everybody say one thing. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What's he saying? That's going to go in her and grow and produce something. Amen. He said there's one thing in life that's needful. What is that one thing? The Word.
Right. Amen.
Oh, it sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. I know. I know. What am I doing? Tipping over sacred cows. Stepping on toes. But guess what? Don't give a rip. Because I know, like Elijah knew, I don't care that it's hard for you. I don't care that it doesn't line up with your life, woman. The best thing you can do is the Word. The best thing you can do for your life and your family is when the church doors are open to be here. The best thing you can do for your life and your family is to live life by the Word. To be in the Word on Thursday. To be in the Word on Friday. To be in the Word on Saturday. And I don't care if it doesn't fit in with your lifestyle and your schedule and your job and all the distractions that you've built up in your life. I don't care. It doesn't change the Word.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Now notice this. Verse 42. One thing is needful. I'm almost done. And Mary has chosen. It's a choice. You choose every day. What am I going to put into my life? What am I going to put into my kids? It's a choice. Let me tell you something right now, what people choose. People choose work. People choose hobbies. People choose their children's activities. People choose all sorts of things over church and over the Word. Oh, yeah. And Jesus said there's only one thing that's needful, and none of those are on there. Now, please forgive me for this next statement, for the boldness that's going to come out, but I'm here to help you. Whatsoever a man sows, he reaps. There's always going to be reaping. There's always going to be a reaping. Okay? What you sow into your lives and your children's lives is going to show up. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You might not see it right now. You might not see it tomorrow. You might not see it a month from now. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, Galatians 6 tells us. For whatever a man soweth, you sow recreation being in the most important thing in your kids. You sow work being in the most important thing in your life. You sow hobbies and distractions. It will show up. That's why I love when people say, oh, it's easy for Pastor Mike to say, he's got young kids and they're... No, what I'm doing... is telling my kids, baseball, son, is not more important than the Word, and it never will be.
Right. Amen.
Abby, it doesn't matter if they have a soccer game Sunday morning. I'm so in the... Oh, that's harsh. No, 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 no. That's a good dad.
Amen.
That's someone... what am I doing? Valuing the Word. If you don't value the Word, you won't think this way. You'll get mad at me and say, oh, okay, fine. But it'll show up in your lives. It'll show up in your lives. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that when we talk about the Word and value the Word, people choose to go to work every day and they're there faithfully and they stay there for hours. Why? They value and have a revelation of the paycheck. Oh, yeah. People send their kids to school. Make sure they're there on time. Make sure they're there. You know, don't miss. You have a certain amount of days you can miss. You can't get too close to that. You get in trouble. So we want our kids in school. We want them learning. We're so proud of what our kids do in school. And we make sure they're there. First thing in the morning, they stay all day long. And then comes church and the sowing of the Word. It's like, I'm tired today. You want to know something that fried me? Last Saturday in Allegheny was one of the deadest services as far as people showing up that we've had since we've been the new church. Guess what it was doing outside? Raining cats and dogs. And I knew in my spirit it would be a light service because of the rain. And I had several people come up to me and say, so-and-so's not going to be here today because they don't want to get wet. True story. And I said back to them, I said, you go tell them that Pastor Mike says, see how that excuse is going to hold up in front of Jesus when he's got the holes in his hands. Because Pastor Mike spent all day praying to deliver their help. Pastor Mike drove an hour in the rain, got out of his car and got wet. Pastor Mike has to drive home, go to bed to get up and drive another hour to be in church because that's what God tells me to do. And Jesus died on the cross, and the word is so little of importance that you're not willing to get a little wet. They do make things called umbrellas. I'm trying to warn you because with your children, this is the time of sowing. This is the time of sowing. What are you sowing into them? The way you talk, the music you listen to, let them keep doing it. I'm on a soapbox. Darn right I am. I'm going to strap myself right down and stay on it. Amen. Brother Hagin would say, and it proved out every time for him, he said, I could tell you every way which one the kids of the church are going to turn out. If you think it's going to be easy to get your kids hooked on the things of God when they're 18, 19, 20, getting into the 30s and 40s, this is when you mold them. This is when you sow into them the word. The word's most important. The word says this, Caleb. The word says this. Abby, we don't act like that. We go to church Sunday morning. Yeah. Caleb had a game a couple weeks ago on Sunday at 11 o'clock. Guess where Caleb was? Front row. Amen. So, oh, that's mean and that's harsh. No, we're trying to instill that the word's the most important thing in his life. Don't ever put anything in front of the word, buddy. Baseball's going to pass, bud. Standing before Jesus, baseball's not going to mean squat. Now you say, oh, that's me. No, my kids are the happiest, blessed kids that I know. I'm not saying yours aren't, but I know my kids the best out of all the other kids. My kids are full of joy. My kids are full of peace. In fact, this morning, I had to leave Caleb, and he woke up. I'm so glad he woke up before I left. And he's bawling because I'm leaving. And I said to him, I said, buddy, we went outside, went for a little walk. I said, buddy, oh, I'm going to start crying. He is the sweetest thing. I said, buddy, the reason you have what you have in your life and the reason you get to experience what you have in your life is because your daddy's faithful. It's because your daddy's told to go to California. You think I want to go there? I don't want to go. I'm going to miss his birthday and I'm going to miss his tournament for his baseball games this week. But you know what? God said to be there. So guess what Pastor Mike's going to do? I ain't going to go with my feelings or my thoughts. Yeah, my son's sad and that breaks my heart, but I'm not going to let that change me obeying God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to do it. And I say, buddy, you have everything, you experience everything, and you're going to grow up the way you are because we're going to put the word first around here. True story, happened this morning. What am I sowing into my son? God's way all the way, buddy. Every step of the way, it's God's way. Even when it's tough, even when it's hard, even when it's inconvenient. You think it was easy? He loves baseball. Buddy, we're going to church. We put God first. Think that was easy, telling him that? No. He was disappointed, and then I pump him up in the word, and he gets excited and gets out of here blessed. And like I said, someday baseball's not going to mean nothing. And he'll play baseball, and he'll enjoy baseball, but not at the expense of the word. Yeah, your jobs and your hobbies and your recreation, not at the expense of the word. Now, don't get into the ditch. Say, Pastor Mike said you can never miss church. Pastor Mike said you can't go on vacation. Pastor Mike says things can't. No, no, I'm talking about consistently putting things above the word. Amen?
Amen.
Hooey. You can unstrap those boots now, put your flip-flops back on. It's safe. It's safe in here now. The bombs have been fired. But Jesus said to her, he said, I don't care. He said, there's only one thing that's needful. If you get the revelation of it, the word. So I got the revelation that the word's better than a paycheck. The word's better than a hobby. The word's better than recreation. I just got that revelation, and it works for me. I hope you get that revelation. I pray that you get that revelation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the word. I know this is some of this stuff's tough going down. But Lord, I don't care. I want people to produce in this church. I want kids to grow up knowing God's way. That they know that God's way is best. When their friends are going the opposite way, they say, no, it's been instilled in me that God's way. When they get old enough to have finances and all of a sudden they see big paychecks coming in, they say, no, I know God's way is best with the tithe. When people wrong them, they say, their flesh says, I want to retaliate, but they'll say, no, God's way and mercy and grace and peace and love is best. Father, I pray for people that they get this revelation today. People don't realize what they're setting up for themselves and what they're putting in, and that if they would just lose their life, like you said, Jesus, you didn't say losing our life for the Word and putting the Word first is going to cause us to suffer or struggle. I don't care what people tell me, oh, your kid's going to grow up. Oh, no, you said Jesus will gain. I believe you, not the experts. I believe you, not feelings. So, Father, I pray that people get this revelation. And, Lord, if people change, don't change, that's between you and God. That's between them and you, Father. I'm still going to love people. I'm not going to think a thing of it. But I got to preach when you tell me what to say. So, Lord, I pray for each and every person to get a revelation of this in Jesus' name. Now, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, please, nobody looking around. If you're here today and you say, I want to go to heaven someday, and maybe you don't know how to get there, I want to tell you how to get there. And if you're listening online, this is for you. If you're listening on the future by archive, this is for you. Say, I want to go to heaven someday. Well, Jesus gives us the instructions of how to get there. It's not hard. Religion will tell you it's church attendance, being a good person, doing religious cartwheels and backflips and, you know, giving to charity and just being an all-around good person. Jesus said there's only one way, it's through Him. And He didn't say all those other things of how you get in. He said, if you'll believe on Me, you won't perish. If you'll call on My name, you'll be saved. Those are the two qualifications, believing and receiving. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you can say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I do believe in Jesus, that's the first qualification. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, for the very first time in your life, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you lift your hand high in the air? If you've never done this before, now if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. Anybody want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? You can say, I believe in Him, but I've never received Him. Anybody at all, lift your hand high in the air. Anyone? I don't see any hands in here, but if by chance someone is in here, I pray that you wouldn't pass from this life. Do you make Jesus the Lord, your Lord? Raising your hand doesn't get you saved. And if you're listening online, if you can say, that's me, I do believe in Jesus, well, there's one other qualification, receiving Him. You see, the devil believes in Jesus. He knows He's real, but the devil's not going to heaven. He won't receive Jesus. So the next thing to do is to receive Him, to invite Him in. The Bible says He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. Why does somebody knock on the door? They want the door to be open. Jesus wants the door of your heart to be open. So if you're listening online, you can say, I want to receive Jesus. You're already saying, I believe in Him. The next step is to receive Him. And I'm going to just tell you how to do it. You just simply cry out to Him and mean it with all your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe You rose again from the dead. I believe in You. And I ask You to come into my heart. I receive You. If you'll pray that and believe that, the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll become a child of God. Heaven will be yours. And if that's you and you prayed that for the very first time, you're going to heaven. And the next step for you is to get planted in a Bible teaching church, not so you can go to heaven, but so you can learn all that God has for you. Begin to apply it to your life and watch changes start to happen. Can we just all stand to our feet and worship Him this morning? Just thank Him. If you got corrected, so what? So what? Ask Him for help. Nobody's judging you. We just want you to come up higher. Yeah. There's so many things that are distractions. I just hit on the ones that the Lord put on my heart. Just make changes. He's so merciful. We love You, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness. I've been corrected so many times on this stuff. I welcome it. Lord, we love You tonight, or this morning. We bless You and honor You. And we give You praise. And Father, we thank You for the food that's about to be eaten over in the fellowship hall. Father, I know there's some goodies over there, Nettie. Told me there's a big smorgasbord over there. So, Father, thank You. Bless the hands that prepared that food. And, Father, we'll give You the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. No Wednesday service. We'll see you next Sunday. You're dismissed.
Put him under.